We want to read the Bible as you're standing. So if you have a Bible with you, we want to open them up. If you open your Bible right about in the middle, if it's an Old and New Testament, if it's a New Testament, you just have to look up here because this is Psalm 100. So Psalm 100, about right about in the middle of the Bible, is where we're at today. Just five verses for our Bible study this morning, Psalm 100. The title of the message is Heaven's Password. Ooh, okay. Let's look now. Psalm 100, this is what the Bible says. Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, or all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Father, again, asking for your prayer, or we're calling out you in prayer, asking, Lord, that you would enrich this time. We know that your word is powerful. We don't make it powerful. It is. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can accomplish all the things you've purposed for your work to be done today through your word. And I pray that your spirit would lead us, open up our hearts and minds, keep us from being distracted, and just receive from you with gladness your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And by the way, I just want to welcome the junior high, fourth and fifth, and then third and fourth grade. You're all in this morning here. We're really glad that you're a part of this service, and it will make you love your Sunday school all the more afterwards. All right. Heaven's password. I wonder what it is. We'll discover that in a few minutes. But first of all, for those of you that really like to study the Word of God, if you look at Psalm 100, and if you look at it, in verse 1, the word make. In verse 2, the first word is serve. In verse 3, the first word is know. And in verse 4, the first word is enter. And those four words will really help you as a Bible student to really capture what the Lord is communicating to us this morning. Hey, a great weekend so far in the Northwest for those that follow football. We got to give it up for the Linden Lions. Hey, they're going to the state. Champs, come on. Listen, we cheered for Ferndale when they went, all right? All right. And also, the Huskies. Now, don't get riled. I'm talking about down I-5. It was a great weekend for football, okay? Huskies won, and then the Seahawks will win, so no need rushing out of here afterwards, all right? They're going to take care of that. But you ever notice just how excited people get at a game? I mean, have you been to some games and just gone crazy? I know you have. I have. I've seen you there at some of those games. But people just go crazy. I mean, and then the players on the field, unlike any other time, I mean, just the things they do. I mean, they carry out their block. Dude, you just blocked, okay? I mean, that's it. But the crowd goes crazy. And then when a touchdown, they've got the latest dances and everything that goes on. It's amazing. And what we're looking at here, how does that relate? Okay, it does, okay? In other words, the Lord says, look, I see the way you respond to a football game or to a sporting event or to some other art or cultural thing. I see the way you respond. I mean, there's a song in your heart. You like it. You're engaged into it. You really want to just go for it. It's good. I see it, the Lord would say. But he would probably say to us, why don't I see that kind of response regarding what I've done for you in our relationship? And so the Lord is looking for us to be expressive in a continual way because of everything that he has accomplished for us. The password, heaven's password, I wonder what it is. Let's look in verse 1. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, everyone on the earth. It says, all you lands, everyone that's on the earth. Right now, if you're paying attention to what's going on in this world that we live in. It is an utter chaos. The tension nationally around the world, it's out of control. I mean, the talk of nuclear engagement and other conversations of security and threat, it's heightened. It's intense. Now listen, I have the solution. No one's called from Washington, I can assure you. But I have the solution. But it's not really my solution. I'm just going to repeat the solution. God has given us the answer. I believe it to be absolutely 100% the answer. And I believe that answer to world peace could take place today. You got to be kidding. Oh, no, not at all. When we're looking here and it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you that are on the earth. If everybody that lived on this earth right now, everybody on this earth, if we would truly worship the one and only, the true and living God, divided humanity would be brought together right now. It would. I mean, if all of us humbled ourselves before our Creator and we said to our Creator, the Lord, thank you for making us. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for living and dying for us. Thank you for being there for us. We ask your forgiveness. We love you. We've made foolish decisions in our life. We ask your forgiveness. We pray for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we humbly ask for your leadership and lordship over our life and over our nation and over others in this world. We humble ourselves before you. Would not God graciously respond to that prayer request if it was in sincerity? Absolutely. He said, why can't that happen? I wish that would happen. It will happen. It is going to happen because Jesus Christ is going to come and reign on this earth in the future. Are you looking forward to that time? Because he's going to reign in righteousness. It's going to happen. It literally will happen because he's called the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace is going to come. You know, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. I say, why'd you have to remind me? I'm still working through Thanksgiving. I understand that. But at Christmas, we're going to talk about Jesus coming to the earth. That's the message that's out there. But he did more than just come. He came, he lived a perfect life. He died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. He conquered death. And we go back to verse 1. We just want to shout, thank you, Lord. That is our God. There's no other God like him. He is the only living God. All other gods, small g, they're dead. He's the living God. And if there is a living God on this earth right now, I don't think you want to follow him. He is the one and the only Jesus Christ. And through the scriptures, we want to cheer him. Jesus said when he was on the earth, will you love me? Will you love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Will you love me? And I think we agree to that. I want to. But how do I love you that way? And we're going to learn right here. First of all, I'm going to love you that way by making a joyful shout to the Lord. God's wanting to cultivate that in our hearts. He's wanting a sense of expression of our hearts towards him. If you're in Psalm 100, if you just turn to Psalm 96, just to the left, in Psalm 96, in the first three verses, it speaks about this. As a matter of fact, just a footnote, Psalm probably around 90 through 100 are these psalms of celebration and praise. In Psalm 100, where we're at, it's like the crescendo of the psalms of celebration that we have. But notice in Psalm 96, if you notice in the first three verses, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory amongst the nations, his wonders amongst all the peoples. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. You know, the greatest witness, or perhaps better said, what becomes attractive from your life, what becomes attractive in drawing people to this God is your expression of love for this God that we know, loving him. At our house, I have an office in our house at home, and I have a music stand just like this. Now, it's not because I play music. Anybody that sits next to me would know that, okay? But I have it there because when I'm studying, I put my books on that, and I could just look, and it's really nice. Well, my grandson, did I tell you I have some grandchildren? Okay. So he came in our office, my office, and he says, Papa, sing in this. And I'm saying, what? So for him, he thinks, this is a microphone right here, singing to you right now. Jesus loves you. And he's happy. Jesus loves me. What the Lord is looking at right here is for us to shout and to proclaim our love of Jesus. Our love of Jesus. And just as we have little Preston today, just already in a sense of folding his hands and reverence, and little children as they sing the songs, and what a blessing in our children's ministry. I just want to say, because a lot of the children's teachers are here right now, thank you to the children's teachers serving in all the various ages of our ministry. Thank you so much for what you do, putting songs in those children's heart. Parents, have you ever heard the children singing on the way home in your car? Yes. I mean, it's a great joy to hear that. That's what the Lord is saying back to our Psalm 100. He's saying in that first verse that we would be people that would shout to the Lord a sense of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. You know, there's a word that's pretty contemporary, and it's really got a lot of traction over the last few years. The word is global. And you hear that word, and even when I say that word, you're thinking, wait a minute, this is a Christian service. Can you say global here? Jesus is the leader of global initiatives. 2,000 years ago, he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the earth. Jesus, he's our leader. He's our shepherd. He's our savior. He's our king. We're following his lordship in our life, and we're so grateful. We just want to thank him for that. You say, well, you know, when we get together here, I like the worship. And this is so funny. A few years back, I don't know how many years, but a few years back here afterwards, because it was in the summer, so I was standing outside. And this fellow comes by me and he says, this is the first time I've been here today. He says, that's great. Sure glad you're able to come, or whatever I said. I don't know what I said. But he said, you know what this service reminded me of? I says, no, what? He says, it reminded me of a funeral service. God bless you. But seriously, the same morning, this other lady, as she was leaving, she said, this was the most alive service I've ever been to. I thought, wow, I wonder what service I was at today, okay? I'm not quite sure. But when we're looking here and seeing again, we want to make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. And in heaven, it's going to be loud. Say, oh, I can't take it. We have new bodies, okay? We'll have new ears and we'll have new patients and we won't even need patients. It's just the celebration of the Lord in heaven. Let's move to the next verse. So we're going to make a shout. That's going to be in our heart. We want to express thanksgiving to the Lord. Heaven's password. I wonder what it is. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Pastor John Corson years ago gave a message, and it really meant a lot to me. It stuck with me in my heart. I needed to hear it. And it had to do with serving. And I believe that the Lord has helped me in serving. I love to serve. But there was a point that he made, and some of you have heard this before, but he says, regarding serving, you look at it two different ways. One, do you look at serving as something you get to do or something you got to do? And I says, wow, those words are so similar. Get to, got to. And I began to think. And he says, if you think that you're serving, you got to serve, something's wrong in your heart. If you got to serve, there's probably not the joy in your heart. If you got to serve, you may be dealing with some attitudes in your heart. If you get to serve, you realize what a privilege. The Lord has enriched our life. He's given us a privilege. We get to serve him. It is a joy. It is a blessing. It's something that we get to do. And we thank the Lord. Thank you that we get to do this. We get to be a part of this family. We get to be a part of the larger family, the body of Christ around the world. Brothers and sisters around the world that are meeting because they get to meet. They get to come together. They get to be together. We get to do this. Be with those as we do have missionaries we support. And they would not be able to have this type of meeting this morning. It wouldn't be permitted. There'd be great secrecy around what we're doing and how we're celebrating. And we thank Jesus for this. You see, there's no joy apart from God. The most joyful work in the world is to serve the Lord with gladness. It's the greatest thing. And you say, well, that's good, Pastor, because vocationally, that's what you do. And my answer is, that's what we all do. I don't get it. What do you mean? Well, it's very clear. The Bible says that we're all ministers of Jesus Christ. We're all ministers of Jesus Christ. So no matter where you're at, it's very clear that we're to serve him wholeheartedly and with great joy. Pam and I were talking about just some of the testimonies of God's faithfulness in our life. So as we're serving the Lord, we face the same things you face as you serve the Lord. And certainly finances is an area that all of us probably face difficulties. We were back in the U District, and this was in the, anyway, so it's probably around 1990, somewhere in that time frame. Oh, Les, okay. Show the card, babe. All right, I got it. So I went to this professional that was going to take care of our taxes in ministry, and it's a little bit out of the ordinary on how you do it. And he said, this is what we're going to do. And I says, great, glad that you can help me. Well, the thing was, is that the way that he completed everything, I got a visit or a request from the IRS to pay $2,000 more, which it might have been $2 million. Okay, it didn't matter. $2,000, $2 million, it's the same. It doesn't exist, okay? So she says, what are we going to do? And I says, babe, you know us. We need to trust the Lord, but we're not going to have debt hang over us like that. That kind of debt. That's not going to happen. So I says, we're just going to sell the used car that we had, and I know we could. And this is just between her, Pam and myself. Didn't go anywhere else. But he said that we can sell that and be about that. That'll be about the right amount. We'll pay that off. He goes, but what am I going to take the three girls around in? Did you think about that? Yeah. It's that big station wagon. I just says, honey, this is what we got to do. This, and she's always has been so supportive of that. And I says, the Lord will lead us through this. But we just have to do this. We don't owe anyone but love in that regard. And so put it out in the paper. Fella called back. He's coming at the house. He wants to buy it at 3. And I get the mail that afternoon. There's a check, but it's a cashier's check for $2,000. Nobody else knew about anything. Okay, I'm serious. It's just like, what? What? Babe. I got you a car, babe. I got you a car. I mean, this is God's provision. How'd this happen? You know how you try to examine, like, okay, look at the envelope. You see the writing on it? Where'd this come from? It came from the Lord. It came from the Lord. We serve the Lord with gladness. The guy calls or, you know, shows up. Hey, there's the car. That's the one I've been looking for. Great, but it's not for sale. The Lord bought it for us today. Praise the Lord. We go back to verse 1. We're going to make a joyful shout. Thank the Lord. Well, that's my car. Bye. Anyways, it's ours. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Did you see that second part? There's a response. In this sense of coming before his presence, many times even in our service, we'll pray, Lord, we just are so thankful that we're in your presence. And I know maybe the heart behind that, but to think clearly, we're never out of his presence. We're never out of his presence. But I think probably the emphasis would be this sense of abiding in the Lord, this relationship of we're fellowshipping with God, we're abiding. And many times life has been so hectic. To you, I know on Sundays, it seems like it's the only day that Satan works, okay? Just trying to get to church and get out of the house and just the turmoil that you face. I know what that's like. I know people, they tend to come here, but they just keep driving. They're just so mad at each other. And then once service is over, they're good, they're okay. But it's just a battle. And when we're looking here at the scriptures, we say we come before his presence with singing. And the great joy of being able to do that before the Lord. Let's look at verse 3. So we're going to make a joyful shout. We're going to serve the Lord with gladness. In verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. I love this verse. Know that he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. That is so refreshing to our hearts in the self-driven world. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I love that. It ministers to me. The Lord is absolutely in charge. He's in control. He's over everything. Know that the Lord, he is God. In studying this, I had to go over to 1 Kings chapter 18. And in 1 Kings 18, some of you may realize right away, but that's the account of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet in 1 Kings 18:20, and it said Elijah was speaking to the false prophets. I believe there was 450 of them. In a sense, he was by himself. And he came and he says, how long, O people, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. That's their false god, their pagan god. Follow him. But the people wouldn't answer a word. And so they designed, in a sense, this competition. And what it was is that the prophets of Baal, the 450 of them, I believe, and Elijah would be second, they had a chance to go ahead and present this sacrifice, their sacrifice, and call out to their God to, in a sense, consume this sacrifice. Nothing happened. Here's Elijah's dialogue with them. He says in verse 27, and so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a god, small g. Either he's meditating or he's busy. The Living Bible says he's in the bathroom. Or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. That's the false god. And nothing happened. When it was Elijah's turn to see if, in fact, he worshiped the true and the living God, he put the wood back in order, built the altar. They put four water pots of water over it. And they did this one time. They did it two times. They did it three times. They drenched the wood and they drenched the pit that the wood was in before the sacrifice. And then it says in verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening, Elijah the prophet came near and said, listen, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, for I am your servant, and that I have done all these things. I get to do all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wooden stones, and the dust, and it all was licked up the water that was in the trench. And the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen? Can you imagine that? Well, the same Lord is at work right now in our lives. The very same Lord is at work to be known as God. The Lord, he is God. He is the one that wants to be worshipped. In one of our men's discipleship groups this week, one of the brothers was saying in a conversation with someone else that this other person, in sharing the faith with this other person, the non-believing person said, you know what? I understand what you're saying. And I'm putting these in my words right now. I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to choose just to kind of live in the world as long as I can until that point comes when I'm going to die. And then when I'm going to die, I'm going to make the crossover to Christianity. And when I listened, I hear this, I think, okay, that's a nice thought. Have you ever seen it worked out, dude? I mean, have you ever seen that ever happen in your life? I mean, we've seen people humble themselves at the end of their life and humble themselves and ask Jesus into their lives. But what a false scenario to think that you can harden your heart all your life and at the very end, it's going to be soft towards the Lord. It won't happen. As a matter of fact, I have seen the opposite. I have seen people that I'm sharing with, they're attending church, they're around, and you're just pressing in and saying, man, just make that commitment to the Lord. I mean, come on, follow the Lord. And it's just like, eh. And just, but it's kind of a casual deal, a cursory Christian here and there. But I've been at the hospital through traumatic things that have happened in their lives and at their bed, and they don't want me there. And they say things that are unkind towards God. And I think about that when I walk, and it says, Lord, be merciful to them. God, may your mercy fall upon them. Lord, please reach them at this time. But what I see is how hard their heart has gotten. That in essence, at the critical time, the heart was hard and not soft. I'm wondering, how's our heart today? What is that password to heaven? Know the Lord that he is God. Now, we're going to go over to Romans chapter 1. What is the password to heaven? Romans chapter 1, it tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now this is about if we don't want to praise God, if we don't want to live for God, if we don't want to serve God, if we don't want to recognize God, if we don't want to, in a sense, realize that he made us, we're not self-made people. We're people that are surrendered to a God who made us, who redeemed us. But Romans 1:18, it's telling us, okay, here's the future. If you want to take that scenario, if you don't want to praise God, it says actually then you're going to meet God, but you're going to meet the wrath of God against is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness. Of why? Because men, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. And then ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. What he's saying is, every day you look out and you see the creation of God. You see the hand of God. You can't deny that God exists. God says, I created all of this. But continue on. Notice what happens. It says in verse 21, because they, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Look at verse 21. Nor were they what? Thankful. The password to heaven is thank you. The password to heaven is thank you. I always think too, whenever I do like passwords, because I have to just like read, okay? Because how am I going to remember passwords, right? Get all these things, just something simple. And then the little meter right now, it's like, that doesn't even measure. You got to make it stronger. Okay, bright red. Okay, that doesn't work or whatever. So the password to heaven would be parenthesis or quotation mark, capital T, H-A-N-K, capital Y-O-U, exclamation point, quotation marks. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In other words, when we're looking at this and we're seeing the Psalm 100, a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of adoration, and we're looking and we're moving with this. We're saying, thank you, God. But then we have to seriously look and wonder, what is it? What happens when my heart isn't right with God? What happens when I'm struggling? What happens when I don't want to be around other Christians? What happens when there's just this attitude going on in my life? Why is this? And the answer is because we're not thankful. That's the answer. We're not thankful. That's the answer. We're not thankful. I could be driving home and be thinking about something I got to talk to my wife about. And I could start to get worked up about my wife. You know, kind of like make a case. And I get this thing working in my mind. It's going to be disastrous. I know it'll be disastrous. It's not of the spirit. It's of the flesh. But it's just like, and when I'm driving home, it's like, Then I listen, and all of a sudden a praise song comes on. Well, that's a good song. That's a praise song. So what have you been, then the Spirit speaks, so what have you been doing in your heart? Not praising, been complaining. Been complaining big time. Been complaining about how good I am and how bad she is. In my heart, never said it, Lord. Yeah, well, I see your heart, okay? All right? It's like sometimes we think that maybe the Lord has to go to the examination booth on the football field to see. Run that play back again. You know, get another camera on it. Let's see. We got to look at this call. Lord sees it all. It's so clear. And he just says, why don't you get your heart right? And it's that praise music that broke through a hard heart, praising God. And it's like, you're right. I'm not being thankful. And then when I'm not thankful, it's a downward spiral. Again, it's very clear in the scriptures. It says, but became futile in their thoughts. That's so true. I become so self-centered. And my foolish heart, it gets darkened. It's so true. And to be wise, but you're actually a fool. That's so true. The scripture just nails it head on. So what we're looking at this morning is we're going to make a joyful shout to the Lord. It's not going to be a manipulative shout. It's not going to be motivated by someone else. It's going to be a response because of your gratitude for the Lord. God has made us to serve him, but to serve him with gladness, we get to say, we get to serve the Lord. And we serve the Lord by abiding in his presence. And as that relationship is going, we realize that there is no other God. This is the true and the living God. He is God. He made us. He knows us. We're not here trying to construct our own lives and sort of making a monument to ourselves. We worship him because we're sheep. We're sheep. That's what it says. It says we're sheep. Yeah, but Pastor, this psalm by David, right? It's like over 3,000 years ago. Probably so, right? Well, then the sheep would probably be Israel. That's a good thought. Let's look over and see what Jesus says in John chapter 10. That's an important question to answer. Is he speaking to the nation Israel, or is he speaking to me? Is he speaking to you? In John chapter 10, Lord, what's the answer on this? John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Amen. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. Amen. He's speaking to us. He knew that his death, burial, and resurrection, he knew there'd be a day of Pentecost. He knew that the gospel, which began in Jerusalem, would be a message for the entire world. And he says, and he puts us and you and me right there. We're part of the flock of God. And he's our shepherd. We just say, thank you, Lord, my Savior, my Creator, my friend, my Lord. I love you. We want to follow hard after him, right? Remember, we've been doing our Sunday series at the end of John about being able to be in your own race, right? And then grace for the race that we're in. And to know the word of God. And it's for keeps. I found a very interesting illustration. It had to do with running. And it had to do in 1980. There was the Boston Marathon in 1980. And the woman who finished in first place for this marathon, she had one of the third fastest female times ever recorded in any marathon. Not just the Boston Marathon. But listen, the men's winner that year was Bill Rogers, who had just won his third straight Boston Marathon. And he noticed that this other runner couldn't seem to recall many of the things that most runners know by heart, such as intervals and splits. Observers noticed that she wasn't really panting or coated in sweat. And look at, and her thighs were much flabbier than would be expected of a world-class runner, according to this article. She later released the stress test results showing that her resting heart rate was 76, whereas most female runners' resting heart rate would be in the 50s or lower. And then her time from the apparent New York marathon that she ran just a few months before was 25 minutes greater, better. And they asked, how could this be? She says, because I got up with a lot of energy this morning. The truth is that she snuck in to the end of the race, okay? She never ran the race and finished with this remarkable time. Obviously, she was later recognized and disqualified for that. And I just want you to know, as well as I know, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts at all. That what God has called us to do, he's called us to do it with a sense of wholeheartedness, a sense of thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that I know you. Thank you that you made everything. And not only made it, you know how it all works. And Lord, when I am not working, when I'm not thinking right, you have wisdom for me. When I'm not feeling right, you have healing and encouragement and grace for me. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. There it is. Thank you. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Green Lake in Seattle. Have any of you ever been to Green Lake? It's right in the kind of in the middle of the city. There's a run path around the whole lake. We used to do baptisms there and literally, personally, baptized dozens and dozens of people there. But there's a little waiting pool there too. So the waiting pool's off. It's concrete. It's fairly large. Just a little bit of water in the summer. The kids all play in that little waiting pool. It might just barely go above the ankle or so. And kids are having a lot of fun out there. For us as believers, we start in the waiting pool. And just to feel that water and that newness. And it's like, God, this is great. I mean, what more? And as we continue to walk, the waiting pool is going to get pretty boring, okay? In other words, our Christianity, there's a time for it to be shallow, and then there's a time for us to go deep, to walk across out of the pool, and to go into Green Lake and just be drenched in that. That's what the Lord's calling us to. The Lord is calling us is to enter in. So literally, there was a literal temple. And in the main part of the temple, just the high priest could be there in the sense of the closest spiritual relation with God. And then there was the outer court of the temple. And so people in their proximity to the temple, it couldn't be that close because there was a priest that went before God for us. But can I tell you, as you may know, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That high priest no longer needed that job anymore. He was unemployed because there's no mediator between God and man. We go directly to the throne of grace right now. We enter into this. And he's calling us and he's saying, listen, if we're going to have this relationship, if the password is thank you, if you're praising me and if you're serving me with gladness, you know who I am, but do you know me? And the sense of entering in and the sense of the blessing that we have and going deep with the Lord. And then finally, it says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Whatever situation you're facing, the Lord is good. Your situation may not be good. It may be a rotten situation, admittedly. It may be one of the most difficult times of your life. Absolutely. But the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He is good. And he's in the midst of your life, in my life. He is in the midst of every situation. The Lord is good. Look at the next verse. It says in verse 5, the next sentence, it says, his mercy is everlasting. And some of you think, that's what I needed to hear. Because Pastor, knowing you, I think you took all of his mercy up. But no, I said, his mercy is everlasting. It's unending, unending for us. Also, and I love this last part, his truth endures to all generations. What is the upcoming outreach that we're doing? It's called regeneration. I'm so excited that these truths are for every generation. The word of God is always in season. You don't have to make the word of God relevant. It is relevant. You don't have to create this cultural switch to identify to the culture. Every culture needs the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of Christ. Every culture, we're all the same. We've all been made the same. We may have different traditions or things that maybe influence us, but the issue is of the heart. And every heart knows that they need a Savior. Every heart does. And there's one solution, and that's Jesus Christ. It's for all generations. Notice what we're reading today. It has been going 3,000 years or longer, and it is as fresh as when God first gave it. It is as fresh and as real as when God first reeled it out for us. We are so thankful for all that God is doing. We're so thankful for God's work in your life. We are called to encourage you in the work that God has for you. When you see www, obviously, it's the beginning of a web address. www. Worship, the Word, and the Work. That's where I'm at. It's just so simple. Worship, the Word, and the Work. That's what God's called us to do. To worship Him, to be in His Word, and to be about our Father's business, the work that He's called us to do. Amen.